Good morning. Thank you so much for the kindness, and thank you for the spectacles. A later addition to my equipment here. But before we go very far, let's open it up with a word of prayer. 3% God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we marvel at the relationship of the three persons of the Trinity. And we marvel that you agreed to extend your love to mere human beings. And this is why we are here today. Thank you, Lord, that you had to leave the comfort of heaven to inhabit earth, in order for us to be able to know you, to have access to you, and to have a personal relationship with you. Father, we thank you so, so much that you have taught us how relationships should be when we see the unity that is between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that you may inspire us today as we listen to your word, that we may learn the truth about relationships and how to have also not only relationship with you, but relationships amongst ourselves. Father, we pray that you help me to speak in a way that befits what the Spirit has designed. Lord, we love you. We pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I can't begin to express my joy at being back in Durban. I've been here, like Duncan has already alluded to, many, many times. And if I'm a stranger to you, it should be the other way around. You are a stranger to the church. So, or just that you have not been around here for that long. Yeah, but last year I was here on my own. This June. So this is the second time this year I am here in Durban. So June I was alone, running comrades, and 6 days after my run, I had to undergo a radical surgery, which, as you can see, I have recovered from very well. And it's a miracle. I had cancer, and that cancer was taken out, and I'm now free of the cancer. So it's amazing that a lot of people who go through what I went through do not have the same kind of story to tell. So I should never take it as a small thing. And I appreciate the prayers, the support that so many of you have been giving to Barbara and I. And I'm happy that now I'm here with Barbara. Last year I wasn't with her, not last year. I keep on saying last year. So you should bring me more often here so that I'm used to when coming for comrades. Then when I come again, it will be last year. But anyway, so I'm happy that Barbara is with me now. She's beautiful, and she just makes me complete. When I'm on my own, I don't feel that. I love you, Duncan, but it's not the same. Yeah, she has lost her mom. She was mourning her mom, so she had to stay. I was running comrades, and they were burying my mother-in-law in June. But God has really been good to us. We are all recovering well. And we actually have started a long leave, which started on Thursday. And there's no better way to be on to start a leave than to, you know, to fellowship with Christians. And today I want to speak about walking in the light. It's a phrase that a lot of us know about. We even sing about it. But I want you to take a second to think, what does it really mean to walk in the light? And today we want to explore that. And the two scriptures that we are going to be focusing on are 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And then we are also going to look at verses 5 to 10. I'm just going to read them so that we can have them in our hearts. So it says here, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Then verse 5 to 10 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. These are our main texts for today. So this is part of the letter of 1 John. And when you think about a letter, you want to think about, first of all, the people who were addressed. And in this case, the letter doesn't tell us to whom it was addressed, which means that it was a general letter that can apply even to all of us today. And also, you want to think about the occasion. Why was the letter written? What was John addressing? And when you dig deep, when you look at the background, the context, you find out that at this time, the church was being assaulted with false teachings or heresy. And one of the heresies that was doing the rounds at that time was that Jesus was not flesh and blood, that he only seemed to be human. And the other version was that there were two Jesuses, one who was flesh and blood, one was human, and then the other was divine. And that before the crucifixion, the divine Jesus departed and left. So when you say that, you take away everything that we believe in, that Jesus came as flesh and he lived and he died and he resurrected, and that will give us hope. That gives us hope that one day we'll also be raised. So this is what he was dealing with. So he says now, as intro, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. And the first point that we want to look at is that Jesus is the foundation of all relationships. He is the center of all relationships. And and here we see John talking about the beginning. Now, what does that make you think of when you hear the beginning? What do you think of? Anyone? Yes, you are correct. You are whispering Genesis. Yes, you think of Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 1, where the Bible says, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. But this is a beginning when there was already God. God creating. But there's also what John talks about in John 1, verse 1, the beginning that he talks about. He says, in the beginning, there was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And this is the beginning that he is talking about here in 1 John chapter 1. He's talking about the beginning when there was nothing except God. When God had not created anything, and he says Jesus was there with God. In other words, he's saying that Jesus is eternal. And if he's eternal, he is with God. He is God. And he says that, he tells us that he was there. In other words, he is the uncaused cause of all things. He is the source of everything that we have today. And this is what the false teachers were taking away, that Jesus is God. So do you see what is happening here? So what is happening is that the faith that we have in Christ becomes not valid. Because the false teachers were saying that in order for you to defeat the flesh, because they were saying the flesh is the problem, the flesh is bad, and is all bad, and spirit is all good. In order to defeat that, you needed to be enlightened. So you needed to have a special knowledge. And that's when the word Gnosticism came into play. So they were saying that you don't have faith in Jesus Christ. All you need is to have some enlightenment that will help you to conquer the flesh and you will live happily ever afterward. But there was everything wrong with that teaching when you look at what John is telling us here. Amen. So Jesus is the center of all relationships. Amen. So John is saying that we actually experience Jesus. And the thing that is amazing is that he's not talking about I. He's saying we. And at this time, he was most probably the only apostle left. He was very advanced in age. And he says, we saw him with our eyes. We touched him. We hugged him. We heard him speak. And we studied him. And so what we are saying is not just for some nice stories. This is not from hearsay. We actually experienced him. And this is a testimony that can be trusted. Amen. So the same thing when we look at the scriptures, my brothers and my sisters, it's not from hearsay. This is why we have got to dig deep in the scriptures to see what God is saying about himself before we can say something about God. So what are the implications of what John is saying to us? The implications are that God became accessible to us in a very basic form. You could hear him, you could touch him, you could, you know, study him actually and try to understand him. You could actually see him with the normal senses that we use. And this is what the incarnation has done for us. It has made us to be able to experience God in a normal, humanly way. Isn't that fantastic? And you must understand that before then, God was someone who was very up there, lofty there. And you're even afraid to say sometimes to breathe in the presence of God. Just in case I breathe wrongly and then I fall dead. So yeah, God, they understood him as, but now John is saying, we hugged him, we touched him, you know. We heard him speak and we heard him snoring at night. I'm sure you are saying that also. So we have got to understand that God made himself to, he lowered himself so much that we can have a relationship with him. This is the extent to which God went in order for you and I to be here. So in other words, for those of us who do not or who doubt their relationship with God, God can be known and he has revealed himself in such a way that we can know him personally. We don't need the Mfundis. Yes, we need the Mfundis. It's the role that they are playing, but you also need to play your role and you can have a personal relationship with God. All of us can. We are all a whole priesthood, as the Bible says. Amen. So also, the other thing that we see here, we see that he says here, the word of life, that's what he says here in verse, end of verse 1. He says, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The word of life. And he's talking about Jesus. Of course, we now know that he's talking about Jesus. He's the one that is being referred as the word. And he says, he calls him here the word of life. So John is saying this pre-existing God, this word of life, we have actually seen him. We have actually touched him. We have actually heard him. And when you look at John 1, verse 1, which says the word became flesh. The word was in the beginning. The word was, there was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That word there in Greek is logos. So it's almost as if John is saying, this logos that you have been talking about for centuries, because the Greek philosophers have been talking about logos, the logos, for centuries. And they said the logos is the basis and organization of the universe. The basis and the intelligence that gave order to the universe. So they called that logos. And it's almost like John is saying, this logos that you have been talking about all this time, we have actually experienced it. We have touched him, we have heard him, we have seen him, and we have studied him. So you can see the implication that this was a very lofty idea. And also even for the Jews believed that God revealed himself through his word, that he revealed himself perfectly. So they knew that God revealed. So John is coming and saying that we have actually a personal relationship with the word. How revolutionary is that? And he even went on to teach that you can call God your father. That's what he taught in Matthew 6, verse 9. He said, when you pray, you can say, our father. So this was very revolutionary. But for us, it helps us to realize that we can actually have a personal relationship with God. When we were coming here, I said to this lady, next to this lady on my left, and my wife was on my right, and I started inviting her to come to church. And she said, I said, do you worship? She said, yes. So I said, can I invite you to church? Then she says, I'm Hindu. So I said, okay, you are Hindu, but do you believe in Jesus Christ? So she said, I was once a Christian, but now I'm Hindu. So I said, how come? How is that? She said, my husband is Hindu. So I got married and I changed to become a Hindu. And then obviously I invited her again. I said, can you come on Sunday? What are you doing? She said, okay, I'm a deputy principal and we are marking matric. So we'll be in camp marking matric. So, but what I'm saying is that When you look at that woman there, do we have any eighth grader in here? I want you to imagine an eighth grader. If you go tell them that you can actually have a personal relationship with that deputy principal, it will be like, what do we even talk about? You are out of your mind, you know? But for some of us also, having a relationship with God can be like that. We feel like I don't qualify. We feel like I'm so unworthy. But when you understand what God has done through Jesus Christ, when you understand his goodness, when you understand his glory, when you understand his grace, that is the first thing that you'd want to have. To have a relationship with God. Amen. And we can have a personal relationship with God. And Jesus is the center of these relationships. Amen. Okay. So, when you look at Jesus, he's from eternity to eternity. The book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, tells us also that he is from forever and ever. He is without beginning. So I'm saying this because when you look at, there was one time when there was only God, the three persons of the God. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it tells us that God is love. So if God is love and there was only God, so the only love that was going around in the Trinity. And as you know, that love is not love unless it has got an object. Somebody actually said that love is like manure. Unless you spread it out, it doesn't have any effect. So God is love, and he then gave us that objective. We became the objective of his love. Amen. So the center of all relationships is Jesus Christ. And then we are going to go to our second point, which is an invitation to a relationship. And we see that the Bible says that it says that you also may have fellowship with us. That's what it says in verse chapter 3, in verse 3 of 1 John. It says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So the incarnation is an invitation for us to have a relationship. First of all, with one another, and then also with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. How does that sound? Wonderful, but it's easier said than done, eh? It's easy to say than to really understand that. So we are understanding that John is saying Christianity is really fellowship with other people and also with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. What scripture comes to mind when you hear that relationship? The Great Commandment, right? So Christianity is a religion of relationships. The relationship that we have with our Father in heaven, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the relationships that we can have among us ourselves. And if any one of those is out of sync, then there is a challenge. Because John says, we proclaim this to you, we proclaim the incarnation of Jesus Christ so that you can have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Christianity, or walking in the light, if you like, is about fellowship with one another and also fellowship with God. So I pray that this sermon will encourage you today to grow your relationship with God and also to grow your relationship with other people in the church. Amen. So what is this fellowship? What is fellowship? We used to say it means fellow in a ship. So the idea of fellowship is one of the most important ideas in the Bible, and especially in John's teaching. And this word fellowship comes from the ancient Greek word koinonia, which means to have something in common, which means a partnership, which means a possession together of the resources. And it's amplified clearly in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 44, where it says, the believers, all the believers were together and they had everything in common. Now that in common is the Greek word koinonia. So fellowship is about having everything in common. So if we are having fellowship with each other, that means that our resources, we are having them in common. And I appreciate what the church does, that you collect contribution and you do help people who are less privileged within the church. But what is really also mind-boggling is to understand that we can have common resources with God the Father and Jesus Christ himself. I was once in I was doing a training theology in one of these seminaries, and the lecturer shared an experience where they were praying. I think it was a building. They wanted to put up a building, and the money was not enough. And they were praying, God, please, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of them and give us the money. And he said, as soon as they finished praying, a farmer walked in and he said, I hear that you've got trouble raising money for your building. I've actually sold some of my cattle and here's the money. And now I was told that story. I don't know how far true it is, but I was told that. But I think it's a great illustration of what we are talking about. To say when God's resources also becomes commonly owned by us as well, that through prayer, God's resources can be availed to us. And so that's what we see here when we are talking of fellowship. It's not just a fellow in a ship. It means that they is some commonality happening, some partnership happening. And this is what you want to keep asking yourself next time you're saying, I'm fellowshipping with someone. How far does it go? And because those who have fellowship with one another are those who share the same resources and the same goals, the same responsibilities, and the same God. Amen. So when we think of having the fellowship with God, we should go beyond just thinking prayer, but thinking that God's resources become our resources as well. So like I was saying, the Greeks believed that you can have fellowship with other people, but they did not believe that you can have fellowship with God. And this John is telling us that you can actually, when you become a Christian, you begin to have fellowship with God. And that's walking in the light. And when you have fellowship with God, it also makes it possible for you to have fellowship with one another. And you can go call God Father. There was a song that we were singing that he is my friend even though he's a king. So we are actually, Jesus becomes, when we are in fellowship with God, becomes our friend and our brother. But you have got to be in communion with him. We have got to learn what it means to walk in his light. Because walking Walking implies movement, isn't that so? So when you say walk in the light, it's not just like, oh, I was baptized and now so I'm in the light. It's about progress that you are making as a Christian. It's about the actions that you put in. I was so encouraged to see different people coming here to serve. That's what's walking in the life involves. It involves us using our talents together to glorify God and to build God's church. Amen. So we are invited through the incarnation of Christ to be in fellowship with the Father, the Son, and also with each other. Hallelujah. So it's very encouraging to know that you can actually have fellowship with God. Amen. Then the other thing that we want to talk about the result of relationship. But before I go there, I just want to talk about sharing our lives when we're talking of fellowship. One of the persons that I've really shared my life with is my brother Duncan. There was this year, I think it's 3 or 4 years back, we eventually managed to run together from Pietermaritzburg to Durban. So we woke up around 1 o'clock, so we had toast, we had whatever we had in the morning, and then by 5, we were already in the pens in Pietermaritzburg waiting to run. And it was cold, we were shivering, you know, encouraging each other. We went in the same pen, same bench, so that we could be together. There was 3 of us initially. But it was still dark while we started running and sometimes almost falling. And we ran, we sweated, it got hot. And we went to the sides of the roads to we together. We were just running, doing things together, and we were almost falling together sometimes. And we shared the salt tablets that he had. And eventually, 11 hours, 6 minutes later, we made it to Durban, to the finishing line. And we were holding hands as we crossed the line. And there were some people screaming from the terraces at us. But when we got to the end, we were taking turns to fall down. And then our wives would take turns to pick us up again. But So we have really shared our lives together. And the Christian life is like that as well. You go through the tough places, you know, the not so tough places together, times of joy and times of, you know, a celebration and times of mourning, you go together. And this is the beauty of doing life together. This is the beauty of fellowship. Amen. So, yeah, you know, sometimes my age is catching up with me. I forget what I was talking about. But we said we wanted to talk about the result. Don't laugh, you also get old one of these days. So tell them, mommy. Tell them that they also get too old sometimes. But so we're talking about a fellowship, and we're talking now about the result, the result of fellowship. The result of fellowship. And it says here in the Bible, in verse 4, it says, we write this to make our joy complete. So joy is a very essential end point of the things that we are doing here together. So when there's no joy, that's a problem. Because he said we declare Jesus' incarnation so that our joy may be complete. And I am thinking John was having in his mind what Jesus himself said just before he was crucified. And you will see that in John chapter 15,
verse 11, it says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And he said the same thing again in chapter 17, verse 24 of John. So this was the night before he was crucified, and the disciples were facing the cross right in front of them. And he says, I'm telling you that I'm going to die, that I'm going to be crucified, and I'm doing that so your joy may be full, so that your joy may be complete. Now, what is joy? This joy is not the kind of joy that comes when everything is going as per plan. This is abiding joy. This is abiding cheerfulness that is based on God and not based on outside circumstances. Because there are a lot of things that steal away our joy. Last night, after we had finished watching South Africa annihilating Ireland by 24 goals to 13, I received a message from home that was quite, it took away my joy. You know, there are some messages that come in your inbox and your joy just goes. So I'm saying it's not easy to be joyful. But now I'm joyful. I had to pray and I spoke to my wife, and the amazing thing is that I had to dig deep for the joy to come. So it's not easy. Sometimes it's just moods. Sometimes our mood can take away our joy. Sometimes there may be emotions that we're going through. Sometimes it may be sickness in the family. It may be death. It can be anything. And at this time, facing the cross, Jesus said, I'm saying this thing so that your joy may be complete. So the result of fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ, and with each other should be complete or full joy. Amen. And a lot of us Christians, sometimes we walk around with lugubrious faces. You know, lugubrious faces. Like you are wanting to cry all the time. I'm not saying that you should cry sometimes. You shouldn't cry sometimes, but not all the time. So you don't waste your time. When you realize that that joy is gone, do something about it so that you can recover that joy, that God can give you that joy. I love what David said. He said, create in me a pure heart. He knows that it is God who can give you joy, the real joy. And that joy is about thinking about one day that we are going to be together with Jesus Christ. And we are going to see him as he is. To see him like you see me now. And think about that. And that leads us to what we want to talk about. Obviously, we are not going to talk about the blessing of the blessings of the fellowship with Jesus Christ. I'll just say briefly that the result is that when we walk in the light, we will have the blessing of fellowship with other people, which is what I've heard a lot of. And that is important in the sense that when you look at our passage, John says that these things I've told you so that you can have fellowship with us. Now, why did he not say fellowship with God in the first place? He started with human beings. And this is because for most of us, our first contact with God and Jesus Christ was through other people. I was met in a supermarket, and I enjoyed the family group discussions that were happening. And as a single person, I would eat everything that was passed by, so that by the time I get home, I don't need to worry about cooking. And
My very first service, the church was still small, about 10 people. And I went there, and I just saw this love that was there. Everyone came to me. At that time, I didn't realize because I was the visitor. Everyone, even the preacher, came to me. And I was, man, I'm so important, you know. So imagine when we are looking, going around as if the world is filling up, but we are not very attractive to people who are looking for God. But those people were smiling. Man, the girls were beautiful. And I said, I'll come again. And of course, I came again. And here I am, married to a wonderful woman that I'm doing life together with. Yeah, so there's a lot of things that the blessings that come from doing fellowship with God and with each other. And the other thing that he says our sins are cleansed. As we fellowship with God, as we walk in the light, and walking in the light does not mean that we are living a perfect life. It simply means that we are perfectly obeying God. When we see things that are not right in our life, we are eager to correct them or to listen to the Spirit when the Spirit prompts us to do something about that. So those are the blessings of walking in fellowship with Jesus. Amen. So when you see two Christians that are problems or are not in fellowship with each other, you should know that the problem is not God. Because the Bible says God is light. In other words, he is perfect. So sometimes what takes away our joy is sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But we are going to taper into the Lord's Supper now. And the Lord's Supper is the commemoration of Jesus coming to earth. Not only doing that, but just to help us to have a proper perception of God and to die so that our sins can be forgiven, and also to resurrect so that we can have the hope of also rising up one of these days. And our scripture in John 11, it tells us that if it says, I have told you this so that your joy can be complete. So God, Jesus wants us to have complete joy, full joy. It's not just joy, but complete joy. And he's saying that we are reminded of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Where he talks about who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is sitting at the right hand of God. So sometimes we actually forget that as we are talking right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, that place of honor. And he was able to visualize that far as he was praying, let this pass. This cup passed. Throughout the arrest, the floggings, the spitting into his face, the mocking, the insults, the tauntings, come down if you are the Son of God. And he was focused. And we were told to fix our eyes on Jesus because he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He helps us to know where the joy comes from. The joy comes from looking forward to being raised from the dead. But that day is coming when all of us are going to raise up, to be called out of the graves. If you are still alive, you change so that we can be in a form that we can see God properly as he is and spend eternity with him. And this is complete joy, a joy that looks up to resurrection. And Barbara is going to share a bit before she prays for the
Good day, everyone.
Thank you. Thanks. I am so filled with joy. But this year was the toughest year of my life, really, in different ways. And for me to just be standing here, sharing this moment with each and every one of you, is testimony to what the relationships and the fellowship that we have with each other and with God, the power of it. January 17, he was diagnosed with cancer. And needless to say, the rest of the year up to June, when he had to come for the surgery, was filled with so much emotion, pain, confusion. But we did come, and he's here. And like he said, it's a miracle of God. And for me to be standing here, knowing the God who does these things for us, is very, very humbling. I feel so blessed. I feel so blessed. I'm blessed to be here with Duncan and Lisa. Lisa knows everything about my life. She has seen me when I'm like a rabbit that's caught in the glare of light, and I'm just frozen because so much is happening, and I'm in pain, depression, situations. But like he was describing how they walked, I feel that I've also had that same walk with Lisa. And I always feel like when God brought Duncan and Lisa into our lives, he brought all of you guys to us. So our relationship is not just with them. Like he says, we've been here many times, but it's precious for David and I to be here with each and every one of you. So I'm so grateful for that. He shared that Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and it scorned its shame. I remember, and I've shared this with some of you, that when I was young, so when I was young and in college and before I became a disciple, I had a relationship with who was my boyfriend then. And I had an opportunity to go and live in the United States because he was from the United, he was an exchange program student, and we met together on campus, and he was my boyfriend when I was dating, when we were dating, and he loved me and I loved him. But studying the Bible and seeing my life changing and thinking that if I go there, I might not be able to stay standing. And I realized I had to break that relationship. It was painful. I remember crying for like 2 weeks. But I look back today and I'm so grateful that God enabled me to make that decision, because I would not be married to this guy. And I love him. So the joy of he was talking about the result of relationships being joy. We live in a world that's fallen, and there's many things that cause us pain. When he was here, my mom passed on. Actually, she fell sick the day before we're supposed to fly to come here. And I had to make a decision in that moment. The two closest people to me, my mom had passed on. He needed to come and get a huge surgery going on. And I had to think, how do I even make a decision? But I stayed back, and I buried my mom, and then I came down and I went straight to Cape Town. So I also want to take this opportunity to thank the church here in Durban, because the financial resources were very difficult for us. And we received something from the church in Durban. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for that. So I love God because he's a God of love. And I feel so much love when I'm here. So I want to pray for the bread and the wine so that we can have fellowship and communion with God as we have communion with each other. Let us pray.